Good morning.
What great Psalm 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Have you got breath this morning?
Yes.
Person beside you still breathing? Hopefully, yes. Do turn back to Psalm 1, will you, please? Because that's where we're going to be heading this morning, into the book of Psalms. Psalm 1 is page 543. And while you're doing that, let me ask you a question this morning. It's on the screen. How are you doing? How's it going? How are things with you this morning? Anybody ask that question on the way into church this morning? We're very British, aren't we, in terms of how we answer that question sometimes. I've been asked that question quite a few times today, and I've kind of caught myself out, really, and because we say things like, well, you know, I'm fine. I'm okay. Pardon? Yes?
Last time I've known this joke about 4 years, and I've been getting close to the Lord this week, and he puts us and he says, just do it then. You know, do it rather than thinking, no, I can't do it now. So anyway, just a very simple prayer to this Joan, and a few Joan through the night, and help with pain in the neck. It's just about getting off, and she can't do it. It's a beautiful prayer.
Lovely. Great stuff.
Yep,
absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yeah, great. Lovely. Thank you for sharing that. So if somebody asks you this morning how you're doing, well, if you ask Chris, you'll get the answer, won't you? But we have all sorts of kind of ways of asking that question, don't we? Answering that question. So we sort of don't give too much away. If you're Irish like me, I'll probably say something, Asher, I'm grand. Grand. It's all good. Unless you ask me something about rugby. And then I actually won't talk to you this morning, because I haven't had a good weekend at all. But if someone was to say to you this morning, if someone answered your question and came to you and said, as Sarah's been suggesting this morning, I'm a bit of a cracked brick. You might find that in the Psalms, but you'll find lots of things quite like it. What about this one? I feel like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. I wonder what you'd say if someone said that to you this morning. Well, if they said to you, you know, I have so much to complain to God about, we might take a step back and ask them if they want a sugar in their coffee or something. We find it difficult sometimes, don't we, to respond to honest answers like that. Or if someone said to you this morning, you know, it is so unfair. God is so unfair. If you look around the world in which we live today, look at the evil everywhere, and I'm doing my best to be faithful to God, and evil people seem to be having a great time, and I'm staying faithful, and actually life's getting worse for me. It's pretty raw language, isn't it? Or maybe you ask someone that question, they say to you this morning, actually, you know what, I have really messed up this week. I have really failed God, and I feel terrible, and the guilt is so heavy on me. It feels like my bones are wasting away. That's the kind of language that we find when we come to the book of Psalms. That raw language that we probably don't find anywhere else in the Bible in quite the same way as we find it in the book of Psalms. This sense where all of life is encompassed, where people don't hold back in terms of what they want to say to God, where they're quite willing to say to God, this is how it is, this is how I am feeling. Life is terrible, life is horrible, life is unfair. Or perhaps on the other side of the extreme, they're saying, I'm praising God, I'm worshipping God, everything is great, and I want to give you the praise and the glory. It's an amazing book, this book of Psalms, and I have the task this morning of trying to get our way through a whole book of Psalms, 150 Psalms, in the next 25 minutes. The challenges seem to get worse every Sunday, don't they? Well, we're going to have a go at it this morning. You see, what is the book of Psalms all about? Good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? We're coming back this morning, you see, to our E100, part of God's big story. If you're visiting with us today, you've not been around the last few Sundays, we started at the beginning of the year to read 100 passages of the Bible together, 50 in the Old Testament, 50 in the New Testament, 5 readings a week. And over these last few weeks, we have been hurtling through history, haven't we? You've almost wanted to have your safety belt on, because last Sunday morning we managed to do 600 years. In 28 and a half minutes. And this morning we've got the task of doing about 1,000 years in a similar period of time. So I've actually quite enjoyed this last week. I don't know if you've been following the readings this week. I hope many of you are. But it has given us a chance to slow down just a little bit and to reflect on some of these amazing psalms that we find right in the middle of the Old Testament. So what is it all about? What is the Book of Psalms all about? Well, essentially it covers 1,000 years of history, as you can see on the screen behind me. It runs from the time of Moses all the way through to the end of the return of God's people from exile. And we've been following this big story since the beginning of the year. And these songs, these prayers reflect that big story that we've been reading together. The Book of Psalms, as many of you will probably know, is divided into 5 different books. If you've got the Bible open in front of you this morning and you're using one of the church Bibles, you'll see that it says at the very beginning of it, Book 1, 1 to 41. And so the Psalms are made up of a collection of 5 different books, 5 separate books that are brought together as part of this wonderful prayer book and song book for God's covenant people. It's worth just taking a little look at that. Some people have quite helpfully divided it like this so that we can get a sense of where these Psalms go to. So Psalm 141. In the same way that we see some themes emerging in the first 5 books of the Bible, we see similar themes emerging in these 5 books of Psalms, which we're looking at together this morning. So in the first collection of books, you get some of the Genesis themes coming out, themes of creation and fall and salvation. That takes us from 1 to 41. You'd be glad to know we're not going to look at every Psalm together this morning, because we'll be here for quite a long time, wouldn't we? But just see how it's divided up. Here's book 2 from Psalm 42 to 72. Some of the themes that you find in the book of Exodus, you'll find reflected in this collection of Psalms. So you'll find themes such as captivity and rescue and God taking the initiative with his covenant people. So you'll find a theme that connects the books together. Book 3, similar kind of theme that you'll find if you look through the book of Leviticus. You'll see things like God's holiness and his power and his authority and his kingship. And in this collection of books, you get they're some of the themes which come to the surface of those Psalms. Book 4, Psalm 90 to Psalm 106, will reflect some of the things that you'll find in the book of Numbers. God's sovereignty over the nations. God saying to his people, this is how I want you to interact with people around you. This is the kind of relationship that I want you to have. And finding that God is actually sovereign over the nations. He's the one who brings nations to their heights, but he's also the one who brings nations to the depths as well. He's sovereign. And then the final collection of books, which come in book 5, reflect some of the themes you'll find in the book of Deuteronomy. God's word, his rule, his reign, his kingdom. And it ends with that magnificent psalm which we've started the service with this morning and we've read it a few minutes ago. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So the Psalms are moving us towards this wonderful high point where it's pointing us forward to the future, to a day when the world in which we live, Christ will return, new creation will come, and everything that has breath will praise the Lord. Amazing collection of books. And each collection of books ends with a similar kind of note of praise. We haven't time to look at them all this morning, but here is how the first book concludes in Psalm 41 and verse 13. Praise to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. If you're preaching in Nepal or somewhere like that, they'd all be up saying amen, amen. We don't do that here, do we? So on one level, we can see that these books are brought together, a collection of 5 books. But there is much, much more to it than that. These Psalms assume that we have a relationship with the living God. These are the songs, these are the prayers of God's covenant people. And because of that, they can become our songs and they can become our prayers. If you're in a relationship with the living God this morning. They have no special vocabulary. They have no special language. They just encourage us to speak to God as things really are. Someone's very helpfully given us this definition, which in some ways is our sort of main teaching point this morning. If you don't know what the Psalms are all about, this definition is going to really help us. And we're going to unpack this together this morning. The Psalms hold together, talk about God and talk to God. And so they work simply not by matching our moods at any given time, but by shaping the way we pray and shaping us in the process. Do you get that? So in other words, the Psalms, wonderful as they are when you open them and you find a psalm which really resonates with where you're at, they want to do something much more significant than that. God wants to know how things are today, but he wants to give you a direction through the way that you think and process the experiences that you may be going through. So I want to try and show you this morning how that works by looking at some of the Psalms together. So that's what we're going to do. So let's take our Bibles. Let's come firstly to Psalm 1, which was read for us by Andrew a few minutes ago. And let's try and see how the Psalms help us in our relationship with God. Here's the first thing that we're going to pick up this morning. The Psalms begin with a choice. In fact, you'll find this kind of choice in lots of Psalms, actually. But look at Psalm 1. Look at verse 3. And you'll see there's this powerful picture of a tree that's planted by streams of living water. It's the kind of picture that many of us have seen. As this time of year comes and the leaves start to come out, you get to see some of these wonderful trees. But think of one that's planted by a river. Think of one that's drawing its resources out of the water that's running past it. And the psalmist is saying, that's what it's like for someone whose life is rooted in the living God, who meditates, as it says in verse 2, on God's word day and night, who allows God's word to shape their thinking and their living. That's the contrast. And the contrast is drawn very starkly, isn't it, in verse 4 with someone who's not really interested in the living God, who wants to live life just really for themselves. And verse 4 talks about that sort of living is a bit more like, it's a bit like that tumbleweed that you sometimes see in those old Western movies. As the wind blows, this tumbleweed just gets blown through the streets, or like chaff, as it says here in Psalm chapter 1. It just gets blown away. There's no substance to it. So the Psalms begin by assuming that sense of covenant relationship with God. And Psalm 1 sort of begins by almost saying to us, where are you this morning with God? It's back to the question we started with. How are things going? How are you and God this morning? What's going on in your life? Psalm 1 presents us with that kind of choice. And we're going to see how the other Psalms help us in our relationship with God. That's the first thing we pick up this morning. We begin with that choice of whether we're going to find our lives rooted in God's word, or we're just going to go our own way. Secondly, Psalm 46. Let's turn to Psalm 46. And we'll work our way through some of the Psalms this morning. Not all 150, I assure you. Just a few of them, just to show you how this works. And how these Psalms take us on a journey. How they change and shape our thinking. Psalm 46, Psalm which is often read in times of national and personal times of crisis. Verse 2, sometimes it feels like the earth is giving way, when everything's just falling apart around us. This psalm begins with these great words, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You see what's going on in this psalm? It's not ignoring the difficulties that we find ourselves in. It's not ignoring those times when it feels like our world is falling apart. But it says, when you find yourself in that position, when you find yourself in that experience, come back to this psalm. Use these words to help you to see how things really are. It points us back to God's big story. I will be exalted in the nations. But it doesn't ignore our personal circumstances. You see what I mean? And when I say that the psalms aren't just about reflecting our emotions and our experiences, you can come to a psalm like that and say, yeah, it does feel like the bottom's falling out of my world. It's good to know that someone's been there before me. But that psalm takes us further. It moves us in our relationship with God. It's actually, you need to remember that God's in charge. I will be exalted in the nations. Be still and know that I am God. Psalms bring us reassurance. Here's the third thing this morning. The Psalms highlight the importance of repentance. Now, we touched on this psalm if you were fairly much up to speed with where we were going with our E100 this week. I think we read it on Tuesday morning. This is David's psalm of confession when he's confronted by the prophet Nathan, when he has committed adultery with Bathsheba, when he's gone on to murder Bathsheba's husband. And we have in front of us in Psalm 51 one of the most honest and open prayers of confession that you will find anywhere in the Bible. And you may find sometimes that when we fail God, and when we mess up, and when we make mistakes, and when we find ourselves in those kind of places where the guilt weighs so heavily, we may say, how on earth am I going to get out of this? Psalm 51 shows us the way. Psalm 51 gives us the words to use. God actually, in his love and his mercy, says, here's the words. Here's the way that you can get right with me. Here's how we can sort things out. Have mercy on me, O God, verse 1, according to your unfailing love. Verses 1 and 2, I have messed up. I have sinned. In verse 7, David says, cleanse me. Because he recognizes that actually his sin is separated from God, and God sees sin as something filthy that needs to be cleaned up, and he recognizes that only God can do that. He can't clean himself up any more than we can. He said, I need you to cleanse me. And then that song we were singing a few minutes ago, verse 10, give me a pure heart. He said, I want to get back with you. So sometimes we kind of think, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to say to God when I fail. I don't know how to put this into words. I don't know if God would accept my prayer. God gives us these psalms. God gives us these songs. God gives us these prayers so that we can pray those words. Assuming that's what we want to do. So the Psalms highlight the importance of repentance, keeping that relationship open with God. Here's the next thing. They help us with our questions and our doubts. I'm so glad Psalm 73 is right in the middle of this. Have a look at it, page 586. Here's a character, if you look at verse 2 of this Psalm, Psalm 73, who is on the very edge of unbelief. There's something going on in his life, and he's reached the point where he says, I'm going to pack this in. This faith in God thing, this faith in the living God, it's not going to work any longer. And notice how he says it in verse 2 of Psalm 73. He says, verse 2, for as for me, he says, my feet had almost slipped, almost lost my foothold. I'm right on the edge of unbelief here. Because of the questions and the doubts that I've got. What's going on for him? Well, look at the next verse. I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Where have we heard that argument before? As you look at the evil that seems to be so progressive in our world today, and it seems, doesn't it, from a human point of view, that evil seems to prosper everywhere and anywhere. It seems that there seems to be little reward for faithfulness in God, and you can look at that with the world from a human point of view and say, well, it doesn't make any sense. And Psalm 73 helps us to articulate those kind of questions. God, this guy's not holding back, is he? He's not dressing up his doubts. He's just saying, look, this is how it is. This is how I feel. This is what's going on. This is my observation. These prayers, these songs, they give words to our thoughts. But once again, they're much more than just reflecting how we feel. This psalm leads us to a turning point. Look at verse 16. When I tried to understand all of this, it was oppressive to me. I couldn't get my head around it, is what he's saying. And then in verse 17, he says this, until I enter the sanctuary of the Lord, of God. He says, when I allowed God's perspective to start shining in on my thinking, he said, it all began to change. Do you see what these psalms are doing? They help us to reflect how we're feeling. This guy is not holding back on his doubts. He says, tell it how it is. Tell God how you feel. Tell God your questions. Tell God your doubts. And then it leads us on a journey. And it invites us to look at our situations and our perspectives from God's perspective, which is what is going on here. We may not have all the answers to all of our questions. But you suddenly say, actually, God is in control. God is in charge ultimately. There is an idea of ultimate accountability that is coming. And that's what we need to hold on to. These psalms help us with our questions and our doubts. Here's the next psalm, Psalm 95. They show us what authentic worship looks like. I love this psalm. There's often this desire, isn't there, when we come to worship God, to think about ourselves first and our own circumstances, so that the focus is on me. And not on God. This psalm shows us what authentic worship looks like. It doesn't start with me. It doesn't start with you. What does this psalm say to us? It says, come, let us sing to the Lord. It talks about the character of God. It begins by saying, this is who God is. Look at how God is described here. He's described as the Lord. He's Yahweh. He's the covenant-keeping, faithful God. He's the great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to him. He's the creator, the sustainer of our world. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. He's our God. We're the people of his pasture. We're the flock under his care. Once we got that in our heads, then we're in a position to respond. That's what authentic worship looks like. It doesn't begin with me, it begins with who God is. So no wonder the psalm says, don't harden your hearts like God's people did back in Exodus chapter 17 when they refused to have faith in God. You see what's going on in these psalms? You see how they reorientate our thinking? How they take the focus away from ourselves and put the focus back on God where it belongs. Authentic worship, Psalm 95. Let's keep moving. Psalm 121. Favourite of lots of people, isn't it, in this church here. But here's a psalm for the journey. I love this psalm. I preach on this psalm lots of times. And one of the reasons that I love it, I've learned this psalm off by heart. This is a psalm to encourage each other. This is a psalm for the journey. This is the sort of psalm where you put your arms around each other and you sing it to each other. And I would suggest that we do that this morning. Or I sing it to you, because that would soon put things at an end here. But that's what this psalm's about. It's designed for people to sing to each other as they made their way up to the heaven, to the earthly city of Jerusalem. And it's designed for us to sing as we make our way to the heavenly city of Jerusalem, to God's new creation. We sing it, and it keeps us on track. And look how it does. It says to us that God is with us, verse 1. For my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. He's the God who watches over us. Look at the emphasis in verses 3 and 5. God who watches. He's looking out over us. He's protecting us, ultimately. Sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. He watches over your coming and going. I love that phrase, both now and forevermore. He will bring you safely home. I need a song for the journey like that. A psalm that keeps us on track. And then, well, there are many psalms you could go to that remind us of God's care and provision. And I know this is a favourite of many people here in our church family. But Lord, you've searched me and you know me. It's a fabulous psalm which describes God's intimate knowledge of each one of us. Before a word is on my lips, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, that sense of God's just his care around us. All those days, verse 16, that are ordained for me are written in your book before one of them came to be. When I was being made in my mother's womb, you saw me. Wonderful words of God's care and provision. I don't have time to look at that psalm in detail this morning, but just look what it does. Look what it says. And just in case you're falling asleep and you think we're going to go forward all the time, let's go back to Psalm 22. That's keeping your toes. Here's something else that we discover. We discover that actually many, many of the psalms point us to faith in Jesus Christ. We've been noticing that, haven't we, as we've read our E100 since Christmas, how the Old Testament sounds like a giant signpost that's pointing us to Jesus Christ, keeps pointing us to Jesus, and in a couple of weeks' time we'll have reached the New Testament. But look at Psalm 22. These are the words of Jesus. This is Jesus praying this psalm as he dies on the cross. Jesus chooses to take one of these psalms and one of these songs and to pray it himself. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? Powerful reminder, isn't it, that Jesus was abandoned by God so that you and I need not be. That powerful reminder that through faith in the death of Jesus Christ, the judgment of God falls on our Passover lamb, not on us, but falls on Jesus. Here it is. Psalm 22, right buried in the middle of the Old Testament, like a giant signpost that points us to faith in Jesus Christ. Just look at the parallel, verse 6 of Psalm 22, and just see how it resonates. Scorned by men, despised by people. That's a description of Jesus' death. Verses 7 and 8 talk about the mocking and the taunting. All those who see me mock me, they hurl insults, they shake their heads. It's the language around the cross. Verse 16, they've pierced my hands and my feet. Verse 18, they divide my garments. They cast lots for my clothing. See how Psalm 22 points us to Jesus? But notice that it is God who has the final word here. Verse 31, they will proclaim his righteousness, speaking of Jesus, to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. There's the confidence of the Old Testament, for he has done it. It's as good as done. Now, I can't do justice to 1,000 years of psalms in a few minutes on a Sunday morning, but do you get a glimpse of what's going on here? Do you get a taste of what's happening here? Let's just come to one final psalm, back to Psalm 150, and just see that the way that the psalms move us in this direction the whole time, towards the praise and the worship of God. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty temple. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This is reflecting the worship of heaven itself. A final fitting psalm, which gives us a glimpse of our final destination as the people of God. These are the songs of the covenant people of God. These are the songs of people who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, who placed their faith in the living God. These songs come from people's experience, 1,000 years of experience, and all the ups and downs and the highs and lows of life. They remind us that we live in a fallen and broken and messed up world, that this world is a tough place to be at times. And I love the way Sarah picked up that theme this morning of the broken brick sitting in the wall. We need each other sometimes like that, don't we? But the Psalms say one thing very clearly to those who are in covenant relationship with God. They say, no matter how life may be this morning, the living God is at your side. And all we can do this morning is to catch a glimpse of the ups and downs of God's people over 1,000 years. All I can do is try and whet your appetite for these remarkable songs and prayers. People who've been there before us. People who've tested the faithfulness of God. So what are we going to take out of this morning? Well, let's come back to this definition that we started with. I did try to say that, in a sense, this is my main teaching point this morning. Apart from trying to whet your appetite for these songs and prayers, let's come back to this really helpful definition. Let's just pull it out for a few minutes and say, okay, so what's the practical stuff for us here as we come to look at the book of Psalms? Well, they hold together, talk about God, and talk to God. They bring those two things together. They work not simply by matching our moods. They're not like a mirror. But they shape the way we pray and they shape us in the process. Now let me try and tease that out. Let me just try and apply that for a couple of minutes this morning and show you why the book of Psalms is so helpful and so powerful and so remarkable. Here's the first thing. The Psalms shape the way we pray. They give us the words to use when we don't know how to pray. I was thinking about this during the week. You know that lovely passage in Romans 8 where it says we don't know how to pray. The Spirit prays and intercedes on our behalf. This feels to me like this is a bit of Romans 8 in the Old Testament. Where God is saying to us, if you don't know how to pray, if you don't know how to put your emotions, your feelings, your experiences into words, let me give you some songs. Let me give you some prayers that you can pray back to me, which will help you to put into words how you feel. That's what the Psalms are about. That's got to be helpful for us, doesn't it? You see, the impulse to pray lies deep within every single human being. Help me. It's probably one of the most basic prayers that anyone will ever pray. But here in the book of Psalms, we have something very different. We have something that takes us beyond the superficial, where no special language is required. Many of the Psalms capture that rawness of life so well. When things fall apart, when redundancy notices are served, when serious illness strikes, when we lose the death of a dear partner, when relationships break down, when words are said in anger, when that difficult email comes, when you read the item on the news which fills you with horror. The Psalms help us to put our feelings and our experiences into words. The Psalms invite us to express what we're feeling with a refreshing sense of honesty, to talk to God about that awareness of the guilt that we have, not just to bury it, but to come to Psalm 51 and say, Lord, this is exactly how I'm feeling. To talk to God about that sense of rejection, those feelings of isolation, the things that we fear, the helplessness that grips us, our hurts, our angers, our doubts, our questions. That's what the Psalms help us to do. They help us to be honest with God. They help us to put our feelings, our experiences into words that God has already given to us. So they shape the way we pray. Here's the second thing. The Psalms shape us as we pray them. I wonder if you noticed that, even in what we looked at this morning. The point is they're not like a mirror. that we just hold up in front of us so that we read a psalm that says, that's exactly how I feel. This makes me feel great because someone's been there before me. So I kind of look at myself in the mirror, and that's really helpful. We need somebody who says, I know what it feels like. It's like someone putting their arm around you and saying, I've been there, I know what this feels like. But the psalms do more than that. They take us on a journey. They help us in our journey of faith to move from how we're feeling to see how God relates to that and how we try to see ourselves in a different way, in a different perspective, as God shines his light onto us. That's how many of the psalms end. Then I saw. Then I recognized. Then I got it. The psalms invite us to journey with God through whatever we may be facing or dealing with this morning. They are songs and prayers that invite us to go beyond the superficial and say, Lord, this is how it is. And I'm going to use your words to pray back to you, to talk to you. They shape us as we pray them. They give us the words. We're stuck for words and we don't know how to put our thoughts and our feelings and our experiences into words. And finally, here's what happens in the Psalms. They show us our place in God's big story. Here's how they fit into God's storyline. They point us back to God again and again and again. They direct us to our place in his storyline. They're always pointing us forward. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy, and he accepts my prayer. Psalm 6. Psalms are always pointing us back to God's big story. They're always pointing us back to God's covenant faithfulness. He will always keep his promise. That's why the Psalms end in the way that they do. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's why the Psalms end on this high point. It's the language of new creation. It's a glimpse of the where we're heading to. It's a glimpse of that prophecy in the New Testament where Jesus will return and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God when the old order of things will have passed away. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Difficult to praise the Lord, every bit of our breath at the moment, because we live in a fallen and broken world. But the Psalms point us forward to a day when the old order of things will pass away. I've pretty much ruined your conversations for coffee this morning, haven't I? Because we're not going to ask each other how we are this morning, are we? Because we're maybe afraid of what answer you might get. And maybe this helps us, actually, to go a little bit deeper in our relationships with each other. But for me, I think the point of the Psalms is this. This is God's way of saying to you this morning, how are you doing? This is God's way of saying, how's it going? This is God's way of saying, what's going on in your life today? And then he invites us to respond with all of the rawness and all of the honesty and all of the open human language that you'll find in the Psalms. God says, tell me how it is. Let's have a conversation together. Here's the invitation in one of those Psalms. It says, trust in him at all times, O my people. Pour out your hearts to him. Tell him how it is. And then it reminds us who we're praying to. For God is our refuge. Let's stop there for a minute, shall we? Before Sarah comes to lead us in our final songs this morning, let's leave that slide on the screen for a moment. Let's pause this morning and hear this invitation from God who says, I want you to trust me with whatever is going on in your life this morning. I want you to tell me how it is. I want you to pour your heart out to me. But I want you to know that you can depend on me. That I will always be your refuge. Let's do that quietly for a few minutes, and then Sarah will come and lead us.